The book of Proverbs is a very, very interesting book in the way it's written. I don't know how many of you spent a whole lot of time in it, but it's a lot of it is attributed to Solomon, and he probably did write a lot of these, or at least compile it. And a lot of them, a lot of it's explicitly not from Solomon, but this compilation of wisdom that has kind of instructed and captivated people again for thousands of years, kind of like the Psalms we were talking about. But Proverbs, we're familiar with the little nuggets, the little one-liners almost, or usually two lines, but these little one-liners that are easy to remember and that are deep, and they're very well thought out and very insightful and incisive and to the point. And you have lots of that. Some of them seem kind of random, and some of them you have these proverbs that seem to flow and build on one topic. Or then you have these sections where the proverbist breaks into poetry, and it's just astounding poetry, some of it. Here in Proverbs 8, we get this poem, and you have wisdom personified. Okay, this poem, wisdom is speaking to us, the readers. Okay, as we get into the second stanza of it, keep that in mind. Wisdom is speaking to us. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. So here we get the words of this personification of wisdom, this personified as a woman, oddly enough, I guess. But nobody left? Okay. Well, you get this wisdom personified crying out to us in this most public place, just to make herself heard by, as much as possible, by as many people as possible, just in an effort to make herself heard. She cries aloud, "To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it." It's just she wants so bad, this personification of wisdom. And then through this book and through so many other places, God Himself is trying to get us to understand the importance of wisdom. Set your hearts on it. "Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction of wisdom. Choose my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." I want you to think about things that you desire. Right? What do you want? I mean, from your basest appetites to the deepest desires of your heart, right? You may want a cheeseburger, or you may want a spouse or whatever. For all the deepest desires of the human heart. Here it says, "Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." Let's go, keep going. "I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power." Wisdom has power. "For by me kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me princes govern and nobles, all who rule the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me." With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. Those who seek me find me. with me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me and making their treasuries full. Does wisdom seem like a good thing? This personification here in this poem is just trying its best to communicate to us the gravity and the importance of wisdom. Okay? Now then, children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Again, who's speaking here? Now, these words, you know, who's speaking in this poem? Wisdom. Okay, right. You know, of course you're blessed if you keep the ways of God, right? But God is not speaking here. This is wisdom. Wisdom says, if you keep my way, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Blessed or happy, right? Or fortunate. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me. Blessed or happy or fortunate. Blessed are those who listen to me. Watching daily at my doors. Waiting at my doorway. This, again, this intentionality, right? Of seeking wisdom and living, seeking to live in a wise way. For those who find me, find life. Again, who's speaking? Wisdom. Those who find me, find life. Real life, true life, deep life. Those who find me, find life and receive favor from Yahweh, who receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me, harm themselves. Those who fail to find me, those who fail to find wisdom, harm themselves. And all who hate me love death. Let's go. And we think about wisdom, it's something that's really hard to put a definition on, right? I think we all have this kind of a sense of what we're talking about when I say wise or wisdom, don't we? But I like this, and we've shared this definition here before. Because wisdom is one of those qualities difficult to define because it encompasses so much, but which people generally recognize when they encounter it. And it is encountered most obviously in the realm of decision-making. Psychologists tend to agree that wisdom involves an integration of knowledge, experience, and deep understanding that incorporates tolerance for the uncertainties of life, as well as its ups and downs. You know, who knows, if you think of the people you know that you consider wise people, all right? They aren't, when the good things happen and bad things happen, they're not just all over the map and just, you know, constantly on the edge of, if something, the least little bad thing happens, they just fall to pieces, are they? They have this, this kind of this foundation and this tolerance for uncertainty, this tolerance for ambiguity, right? There's an awareness of how things play out over time. So wisdom takes the long view. And it confers a sense of balance. It can be acquired only through experience. But by itself, experience does not automatically confer wisdom. This is true too, isn't it? Who knows any old people that aren't wise? Only now are researchers beginning to look into the social, emotional, and cognitive processes that transmute experience into wisdom. So it's almost, you know, again, it's not easy to define, it's not easy to put your finger on, and it's not something that you can just wrap up and put a bow on it, right? It's in itself is a little ambiguous. But we know it when we see it. Wise people generally share an optimism that life's problems can be solved. Have you ever seen a wise person, someone you consider wise, in total and complete despair? No, I mean, bad things will happen to wise people, right? They don't meet those adversities with despair. They know that God wins. They're able to take the long view. Wise people generally share an optimism that life's problems can be solved and experience a certain amount of calm in facing difficult decisions. They know that everything you have to decide is not the end of the world. Right? Intelligence might be necessary for wisdom, but it definitely isn't sufficient. Who knows any smart, foolish people? Yeah. An ability to see the big picture, a sense of proportion, and considerable introspection also contribute to its development. So we're talking about wisdom. This is something that you know it when you see it. It's something about taking a long view. It's about balance. It's about perspective, right? And this, it's this foundation of a life, of a, as Proverbs would tell us, the foundation of real life. If you seek wisdom, you will find life, right? If you hate wisdom, if you disregard this stuff, if you disregard the balance, if you disregard the long view, okay? If you cultivate despair, if you don't think about what you're doing, if you don't think about your decisions before you make them, if you're just always reacting, because you find death, you don't find life. And this, a little more concise here. One way to think about wisdom: the ability to think and act using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. All right? I think that's a pretty good definition. It's the ability to think and act using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. The Bible says this, chasing after this. What did it say? What we just read? Is this important? Yeah. We should be building a desire to live this way, to think and act this way. Then nothing else you can desire surpasses this. This is your loftiest goal as a human being, right? Now we'll think about the Hebrew word for wisdom. Oh, sorry, go back. I didn't put a slide in here. The Hebrew word for wisdom, hakam, is actually, and all its root words are related to making cheese, oddly enough. And isn't that cool? But wisdom is also that same word. Yeah, now go to the next one. In 2 Chronicles, it says, "Send me therefore a man skilled to work in gold and silver, bronze and iron, and in purple, crimson and blue yarn, and experienced in the art of engraving, to work in Judah and Jerusalem, my skilled workers, my father David provided." This is Solomon, you know, calling out for craftsmen to come and work on the temple, right? Anybody know what the word skilled could also be translated as? Hint, hint. The same word for wisdom. So wisdom is this ability to act and to think in a good way. But it's a word about craftsmanship and skill. Wisdom is a skill. Okay? Wisdom is a skill. I'm thinking about some of the skills I'm talking about associated with wisdom. I think it's on the next slide. Yeah, there we go. I think these three, and you see these over and over again in the Proverbs. The skill of living successfully. And the Proverbs talks a lot about having a good full life and about, you know, having enough stuff. And that's okay to think about. It's okay to talk about. It talks about it a lot. Talks about your relationship to work and what you do and how you handle the resources you're given. Talks about that a lot. So successful in that, what's the word? Fleshly context, right? You know, it takes skill to manage money, doesn't it? It's a skill of living well, the skill of living a good life in terms of your ethics and your morality. It's the skill of being a good person. And being a good person is something that, it's also a skill. You know, you have to know, you know, and if you're in a marriage, you'll realize this real quick. You have to know, you have to learn, you have to gain the ability, you have to gain the skill of knowing when to say something and when not to say something, and how to say it in such a way and not to, you know, make an idiot of yourself. And do the skill, it's a skill not to do stupid stuff all the time, is it not? Yeah. Skill knowing how to treat people. You know, I think about people who are good at that. You think about my wife. Knowing how to treat people well, how to be a good person in that respect, that is a skill. Right? It's not just this magical gift that God gives you. It's a skill. It's something you have to practice. It's something you have to learn. You know, you recognize when you've made a mistake and when you don't do that, and you don't do that thing again. You know, ask yourself, when an idiot do that thing, and if the answer is yes, do not do that thing. Right? The skill of living, wisdom is also the skill of living spiritually. And you can take the first two, and be a great person, and be a very successful, you know, wealthy person, well-grounded in all this. But if you don't have the foundation in your life of the Spirit of God, you still don't have anything. And being a follower of Christ and being, you know, this spiritual formation and being a follower of Christ and spending time with God and knowing how to be a Christian, that's a skill too. That takes practice too. You don't wake up one day and you're the best Christian in the whole world, are you? You don't wake up one day and you're holy. It's another thing that comes with experience and time engaging in this relationship with God and being formed by His Spirit into His image. So wisdom is about learning how to think and to act in an appropriate way with insight and foresight and common sense and all these other things. But it's also about how to craft a good life. About how to craft your life into the best possible way to live as the child of God. All right? Let's look at the next slide. So, who wants to be a little more wise? Like three people. That's good. Better than none. Do you see how it's important? Have I successfully communicated this is something that would be good to have? You know, better than not to be wise, right? So where do you start? Proverbs 4 says, get wisdom, get understanding. Okay, great, that's what we want. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her. She will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. It costs you all you have. Get understanding. I love that circular argument. How do you get wisdom? Step one, get wisdom. Make it a priority. Make it intentional. Make it a goal. Make it a focus. Something you explicitly want for your life is to be more wise. That's the first step in it, is to make it a goal. It's intentionality. And in terms of priority, though it costs you all you have, get understanding. But ahead of everything else, of all your other desires, of everything else you're chasing after, make this priority number one in terms of what you want. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Okay? So that's step one. Decide that that's what we want out of our lives. Decide this is the kind of people that we want to be. Proverbs 2 says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding." In other words, if you do this, if you make this a priority, if you make this intentional, if you make this a goal, if you apply yourself to this, if you apply your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and you search for it as for hidden treasure, if you knew that there was, you know, a chest of gold buried somewhere, you know, on your land, what would you do? I'd buy a metal detector and a shovel, right? And that's all I'd do till I found it, right? Then you apply yourself with the same, you know, so much of this stuff just parallels so much what Jesus said. You see, you know, what did Jesus say about the treasure hidden in the field, right? He says, so look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure. Then you'll understand, and here to introduce this other term, the fear of the Lord. Find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. Then you'll understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. See, the promise of this is, if you make that, if we make this a goal of our lives, make this a priority, make this, you know, something intentional that we're seeking after, explicitly seeking after to be this kind of a person, that it's not that you're on your own with this. You know, and it's a skill you have to develop, but you're not left to your own devices and your own efforts. It's not totally relying on you. What does it say? The Lord gives wisdom. If you search this out as for hidden treasure, if you have that intentionality, you actually apply yourselves for this, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of the God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield for those whose walk is blameless. He enters into partnership with us to help shape our lives into what He'd have us to be, which is, for one thing, one big thing, wise.